All right, talking travel is what it's all about today, and filling in for Sally Lucas this week is Barry Warwick. And Barry, good afternoon to you, Barry. We've got a couple of interesting topics today.
Yeah, look, I thought I'd run through documentation. You know, coming up to Christmas, people are going on holidays, and we don't want to arrive at an airport and find that we're not allowed to board.
Got to get the right documentation. And something else that we'll all be grizzling about, another topic.
Yeah, it's dynamic pricing.
Oh, there's nothing dynamic about it.
No, not at all.
It's Talking Traveller 2 and URFM 103.7. Barry Warwick is here with us today. And Barry, this time around, we're going to start by looking at, well, the paperwork, the boring stuff, I suppose, when it comes to holidays. But we must have our paperwork on time, ahead of time, and boy, oh boy, it must be right.
It must be. And there's nothing worse than to turn up at an airport, not that I've done it, but turn up at an airport and someone say, oh, look, yeah, you can't board, you know, you haven't got the right visa or the entry permit or whatever. And these entry permits take different times.
So I know we'll cover those times in a sec, because a lot of folks will be looking to, you know, maybe travel over summer, whatever. If you are stuck, particularly you're overseas, you've landed somewhere, you don't have the right gear, what happens? What's the next thing that happens?
If you do manage to get onto the aircraft and and actually arrive at the destination and you go up to the immigration counter, they'll promptly turn you around. You'll be the carrier that brought you in, the airline that brought you in, will be charged with taking you back to where you started from. So
and you'd probably end up one of those airport shows where they sniff around looking for bad people. Anyway, some of the paperwork that we must make sure that we have.
Well, to start off with, if you're on an Australian passport, it's a good idea to ensure that there's a minimum of 6 months' validity. Now, 80%, 90% of countries require that you have at least 6 months, and that's from your date of returning to Australia, validity on the passport. So
if you were expected to fly out of said country on, let's say, New Year's Eve, you need to really have beyond June 30.
Exactly.
Essentially.
Yeah. And look, there are some countries that will accept less. New Zealand, as long as you're on an Australian passport. But look, we take for granted that we can just hop on a flight and go to New Zealand. Australian passport holders, not a problem. But you might be an Australian permanent resident, lived here for years, and you sort of forget that, I'm on an English passport, or an English passport might need something else. So it's a good idea to just double check that.
All right. So that's passport done. So again, make sure you've got that. How long does it generally take for us to get a passport if we need one renewed or to get one for the first time?
Look, you can pay an exorbitant fee and get it issued in 24 hours.
Yeah, that's for the forgetful people, right?
That's for forgetful people. But the other thing, it's usually around about 4 weeks. But I would suggest that you start a minimum of 2 months before, because you may need to have some other paperwork. So, for example, if you're going to the United States, you're going to need what's known as an ESTA. It usually comes back within an hour of applying for it, but it can take 72 hours. So, and again, I would recommend that you get that done a month ahead just in case.
Or maybe the second that you decide that you want to go, even before you go looking at holidays, maybe just say you've got all that stuff ahead of time, certainly the passport anyway.
The passport, yeah. But you do need to apply for the paperwork early. Vietnam's a really good one. It can take a week, or it can take 3 weeks to get the visa. And I've had them actually issue, spell one letter. It's the consulate's fault. They've had the passport. They've had everything. And if that's not picked up, then you can be denied boarding.
Yeah, the computer says no. And I know the UK is another one you wanted to quickly bring up as well, Barry.
Yeah, the UK is... their grace period for not going in without having their visa entry waiver is expired now. So you do have to pay the £16, get that little piece of paper, and then you're sweet. Now, Europe's going down the path of having this entry authorization as well. But at the moment, they're just taking fingerprints. And so in entering at the border, it's going to be a little bit slow.
All right. There's a few things to keep in mind and make sure you've got that passport and check, I guess, with your travel agent, Barry, with the countries you're going to. They'll get you up to speed with the documents specific to the lands that you're wanting to enter.
Exactly.
All right, some more talking travel on the way. And Barry's next topic for us will be dynamic pricing. We'll get into that. And we're this afternoon, Barry Warwick is here filling in for Sally Lucas. And your next topic, Barry, is dynamic pricing. And let's sort of start with, what is dynamic pricing for those who may not have fell foul to it?
I guess the best example is the airlines. They use dynamic pricing. So if you book well and truly ahead, you get a cheaper fare. And then as the plane fills, that pricing increases. If the plane doesn't fill, then at the last minute, that pricing can decrease. So it just means that, I guess, usually under normal circumstances, buying early, you get a better price than if you leave it to the last minute. But it's not always the case.
I'm going to take a punt, though, and I could be wrong that, like, you start with a good price, and then obviously it gets a little bit more expensive as it gets closer. And if we're getting literally to the death and there's like half a flight full, you might have a chance of getting a really good deal.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. If there's like one or two seats left, not going to happen. But
that's right. So it makes it unpredictable. If you've got a set time when you've got to be on holidays, it's not going to work to leave it to the last minute. If you're a retiree and you really don't care where you go and you see a good deal,
you might be fine.
You'll be fine. Just take it. Yeah.
Just make sure you don't pack swimmers and end up in the snow, I guess. That's one thing. Hotels and accommodation, that's got to be the next big one.
Yep. So hotels have moved to this this scenario. So, for example, I've got clients that booked a hotel about 6 months ago, got a really good price, and then they wanted to change it by one day. And when I looked at the pricing, the price for the 4 days accommodation was actually twice as much as they'd got it for the 5 days accommodation. So, in that case, you just pay for the 5 nights and say, I'm sweet.
If you leave early, you leave early. Yeah. Early checkout, real early checkout.
Checkout. It's a bit, getting the extra day is not so bad because you just pay a whole lot more for that one day.
But and good luck trying to say to those, look, I've got the cheap deal. Can we just make it, 20% less because I'm leaving a day? No, you'll pay what you pay.
You'll pay, exactly.
Yeah. But again, if it's much better than, effectively, because I'm guessing that's really starting a new bookings in their eyes.
Yes, it is. They force you to cancel and, it's a whole new booking. I mean, the airlines do that as well. Not only do they charge you a fee for changing, but if you haven't commenced your journey, you paid the fare, even though you might have got a really good fare 5 months earlier, they don't hold it at that fare. They whack you with a new one. But this is now extending to tour companies, and they're starting to do the same thing. So if you book within a certain period, I just saw Club Med come across and some of their 2026 holidays are going up until February. They've got a really good price, but after that, it's going on to the dynamic pricing model. And I thought, that's the way.
And I guess now that a lot of time has passed since companies have started this, we know the airlines have done it for a long while. And if you've ever tried to buy a concert ticket, a lot of the bigger artists now, you're kind of stuck in that jam as well. But they kind of know, look, this is the future. And it's not like they're the only ones doing it now because I'm not going to go and use you because you use the dynamic pricing. Everybody essentially does now.
Exactly. Yeah. And shipping companies do the same thing. Mm. And then at the last minute, if you don't care about where you're going or what, you might pick up a deal, but you've got to be ready to pack and go.
Like I said, make sure you don't pack swimmers and end up in the snow.
Exactly.
Or the other way around. All right, we'll come back with a little bit more of Talking Travel. And Barry is really going to be looking at, he's putting his travel agent hat on and going to come up with some interesting destinations for us. We're wrapping up with Talking Travel. Barry Warwick is here with us today. And we're wrapping up, Barry, with some interesting destinations that some have sort of quite often are in vogue, but a few that may have fallen onto page two as of late.
Yeah, so when I was first started in travel back in the 80s, Japan was the flavour of the month. And then the yen went up and tourism sort of died from the Australian perspective.
It wasn't as economical as it was. Yeah.
No. But now it's on the rise again. And again, back in the 80s, the Philippines was the place to go. There were lots of cheap packages that you could get there. Mm. And now it's starting to come back. It sort of went into a decline and really wasn't.
It's funny, isn't it? Because you mentioned Japan, 70s and first half of the 80s, economical for us to go there. But if you think about that time after that, obviously it flipped. And there was a period where we were having lots of tourists come to Australia from Japan.
That's
noticeably.
Right. Noticeably. Yeah, because Australia was such good value.
Yeah, for sure.
And similar things happen with China. Like, you know, there were times when it was far more popular. It's starting to, you know, see tourism again. And you can go skiing in China, which is something that you don't usually associate with China.
No, probably not.
You've got Japan, Europe.
Definitely
United
Japan,
States,
Europe.
Yeah, Canada. But not, well, I don't associate it with China, so.
Well, in terms of a geographical space, it's a pretty big one. So you're going to have that wide range of climates, I guess. So everything from but the desert to the snow.
Exactly. And it's a fair way north. Yes. but, you know, some other really nice areas like Egypt, it goes through periods of being really popular and the Nile cruise is really impressive. You've got Morocco. Morocco's always drawn that adventure type person, but it's a really nice country to
visit.
Quite
often
builders
having that exotic feel, isn't it?
Oh, it does. Yeah. I can remember the first time I arrived in Marrakesh and I thought that I was being transported 2,000 years back. You know, I could imagine a camel caravan arriving in this great big square and all this activity happening. So,
and in some ways, having destinations like that in the world where a lot of the good bits of times gone by have remained. I mean, you do step back in time and still get the creature comforts of a nice resort, but you still get to see this is what time was like way back.
Way back, exactly, yeah. And look, a lot of people are starting to get sick of the big cities, you know, with all the building and redevelopment. There's starting to be that similarity between cities, but now people like to get out into the countryside. You know, Norway is an example of having really pristine environment and beautiful coastline and a really great place to visit.
And you can't go wrong with something like that because, I mean, like you said, if architecture is just all of our buildings are, boom, there's another building, it looks the same as the next country over, people are naturally going to gravitate to something where they see something a little bit different.
Yeah, and have a bit of adventure. Get out and see what the real, instead of the cosmopolitan feel, what the country is really about.
All right, and I'm sure they are conversations that your local travel agent is just dying to have with you.
Yes, we certainly are.
All right. A great trip through the world this time, Barry, even though we did have to cover dynamic pricing, but always a pleasure.
Right.
We'll catch you next time.
Okay, thank you.
There's Barry Warwick covering for Sally Lucas as we wrap up Talking Travel this afternoon.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.